Radio.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la. I represent Bahamian people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Baton, bro. Boy, I from Baton, bro. Right between West and Augusta, where them two roads meet, they call it Wilkinson Street. Manners and respect was like a sign blank check. It seems the ones that come in after quick to disrespect. You see, this life in the ghetto never easy.
So good evening, Bahamas. And welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Telephone numbers tonight on Guardian Radio are 323-6232-325-4316-325-4259. And you can text us, powered by BTC, at 422-GR96. I am your host, Valentino O'Brien, host of the talk show Inside the Inner City. My alias, I have so many now. They call me MP. They call me Daddy Scrooge. They call me Daddy. They call me Scrooge. They call me Scoochie. So it's a pleasure to be a host on Guardian Radio. And I find it and very amusing and very excited to come on the airwaves on a Friday to give my input. Because, you know, Guardian Radio wanted me to come on the show because they wanted to talk about the stories that we share, programs that we can introduce to make things better for us living in the country, ideas, you know, talk about all the great community leaders who are doing great community work across the country and great organization from the Rotary Club of East Nassau to the churches like Salem Union Baptist Church and et cetera. So I just take this time with to see that we are making progress. And today on the show, we also want to show some of the programs that government are introducing that are very beneficial to the country. Many of us in the country might be very disgruntled with the government. Some of us might be quite happy with the government. But at the end of the day, I've always said this. Despite the many flaws in government, we still have to take a look are the positive programs that they have introduced so far. Some are great. I think more could have been done, you know, by having the right set of people in place. Then some are legislation that has just been passed before the House of Assembly, like, for instance, the legislation bill about the marijuana industry in the country. That is a good initiative, you know. Also the re-entry program, also the expungement of minor offenses, you know, small possessions of marijuana. Just recently, there are a few persons who got a clean police record. And one I can see is one Mr. Perry, we call him Barber. He owns a barber shop on the end of Ross Corner. He has been a barber for many, many years in the country, over 30, 40 years. He picked up a trade from a guy, I think I can remember his name is Lipstick. He was a barber who had his barber shop on Market Street. And he taught Mr. Perry, who I now call Barber, his trade that has been very beneficial to him. Mr. Barber was once arraigned and got brought guilty on a charge of small marijuana possession, which for some strange reason was small possession of marijuana that went on this police record, and he couldn't do numerous things in the country, like travel, probably even get a job. Lucky for him, he was an entrepreneur, and he was able to sustain himself. And this government just recently introduced a bill that would decriminalize marijuana, also expunge are those who are being charged with minor offenses. And this is a plus across the board for many Bahamians in the country who has a criminal record. This is a chance for them to get a second or third chance. But I also want to assure those that are getting their police record expunged that you take this opportunity to the best of your ability. Do not make the mistakes that you made before and use this as a stepping ground to get your life in order and try to be a prosperous person in the country. Again, this is a great initiative, and many more persons are being the board, being before the board to get their police record expunged. And that is very beneficial to all of us as a Bahamian. And this way we take the politics out of it. I think the bill or this program was talked about by this administration or a previous administration, and they made this a priority. I think this came from the works of numerous governments and public persons like myself who gave our input, the Rasta community, persons who were being in problem, who met with the Minister of National Security. And it was talked about, it was written down, and I can remember talking to the Honorable Tommy Turncross, who was the Minister of National Security. And to me, I feel in all my heart that Tommy Turncross was one of the best ministers I ever been in contact with. He was a down-to-earth MP. We talked about numerous issues like the legalization of marijuana, decriminalization of marijuana, et cetera, giving people second chance, and et cetera. And to my knowledge, he always stated that on his watch as the Minister of National Security, he would write it down, but it would not be right now that they can decriminalize marijuana. And that's when Tommy Turncross was the Minister of National Security. Then Commissioner of Police was Alison Greenslade. And I think the police commandant, the Defense Force commandant, I can't remember his name, but all of them was present. And the police superintendent, the prison superintendent was in attendance. And, you know, what amazed me is that it takes a collective body of persons from all walk of life to come up with a sensible solution. And I'm happy to say that I'm glad to see the progress that we are making as a country and as a government, not PLP and FNM, taking into consideration of the average Bahamian who has a wealth of knowledge. They might not have all the degrees, all the diplomas, but they have a wealth of knowledge that can really be beneficial to the Bahamian people. And that reentry program, that expungement of minor criminal offenses that this government has initiated, a thumbs up to that. That is a very good program, and it's going to benefit us greatly. I also want to talk about, again, the marijuana bill that is under review now. I think the Honorable Prime Minister is trying to find a way to make it a playing field when it comes to, I think, how to go about it in the right way, make it a level playing field for those who might not have all the paperwork, and trying to set up a nice way to set them up with a business plan and et cetera. But one thing I heard, listening to all the shows, especially Aja Black show a few minutes ago, they had some very intelligent guests talking about the same particular matter. And one of the panelists who were on the show made a valid point. You know, the government is headed in the right way. They're talking about medical marijuana. They're saying that if persons get catch with 2 ounces or more, if they're not persons with medical marijuana prescriptions from their doctors, that you can be fined very high. And in a way, many people who might use it for medical marijuana, it's good for them. But there are many persons, again, in the country who use it for recreational use. And those persons have been using it for many years. We talk about the Rastafarian community. We also talk about natural-born Bahamians who, you know, take it occasionally for a relaxation drug, et cetera. And so we also have to open the playing field for that also. Like Nahaja Block said early on the show, you know, you kind of feel the disadvantage when, you know, if you get catch without the prescription, medical marijuana, that you could get a high fine. And she made a valid point today stating that then if you're not getting it from the pharmacy or not, you're not getting it from the doctor, and a person who walking on the street gets fined with 2 ounces of marijuana, then you have to think about it. So in other words, she is saying, I could have two ounces of marijuana on me, right? And yes, the government and the court system will prosecute me. But at the same time, I might get this 2 ounces of weed from somebody on the street, you know, who don't have a license to sell the marijuana. So you have to look at it also. So we have to try find a way on how we could get the recreational use in play also, because there are many, many Bahamians, thousands of Bahamians who use it for recreational use, you know, and there are many Bahamians who need it for medical use, you know. So we have to try and find a playing field and educate more and look at the laps, you know, because this is a step in the right direction. I also listened to the talks about the legalization of marijuana, the decriminalization of marijuana. That's just the first step, and it's going to keep on going to the next phase. So this just is the first phase, I guess. And as they brainstorm, as they get the Rastafarian community, as they get the Bahamian community on the government side of it, on the church side of it, then I think we are going to decriminalize it step by step. Like I said, Tommy Tynkrest said that on this watch it was not going to happen, but he would put it a reminder that if they were ever to win the government again, it would be an agenda for the Free National Movement. And again, I'd like to give credit to also Lady Cheryl Wilson, who we worked together a few years ago. We worked on a second chance program. She used me as a person with experience on the street, to use the knowledge I get to come up with a plan of action to give people second chance, empowerment, and et cetera. And then she presented this information to the leader of the party, which at that time was the Honorable Perry Gladstone Christie. After winning the government, I listened quite frantically in the front of the TV, and I heard the legislation pass, and that's all because of Lady Cheryl Wilson. At that time, she was the chairwoman of the ladies' branch of the Progressive Liberal Party. And that's what I say, collaboration. Just like how I collaborated, numerous of us collaborated with the Honorable Tommy Tynkrest, and also collaborated with Lady Cheryl Wilson. And by these measures, we are seeing these kind of programs pop up now, because we have to be the ones to also give our input. So when the government comes on one end, we also have some input to add to that, and combining two together, we come up with a great, great plan. So I just want to say thanks to all of the persons who contributed and will continue to contribute to these programs that are very beneficial to the country. Again, I'd like to say a special request to the Lady Cheryl Wilson. She did an awesome job, and she presented it. I'd also give my shout out to former Minister of National Security, the Honorable Tommy Tynkrest, for listening to persons who have that connection and many of the answers that they're asking for. And now we're seeing the country move forward, and I would like to thank this government for taking it even further. So I guess that's the Honorable Prime Minister, the Minister of National Security, a thumbs up. Keep up the good work. Like I said, many persons in the country, across the country, might be very disgruntled with the government. You know, I give my point of some time. I could give my reason for being disgruntled. But at the same time, I understand that there are programs that can benefit each and every Bahamian. So as modest you could be with the government, don't let frustration cause you to make the wrong choices. There are still programs that are there that can be very beneficial to the Bahamian people. Yes, we might wait till the general election to get our frustration out, but at the same time, we must recognize that even though the government is kind of not so connected with the Bahamian people, they have done some great programs that are very beneficial. So take advantage of the program. And we must say thanks, you know, especially for this program. The reentry program, the small business program, you know, even though it's a little slow, but it still has been very beneficial to the Bahamian people. We just need to add some more icing on the cake and et cetera. The Prime Minister mentioned that. So that's a plus. You know, always remember, people, as mad as we can be, even in the budget that was just described to the Bahamian people a few days ago, there are things in there that are beneficial for the Bahamian people. And I just want to say thanks for those programs, okay? Also, the social assistance program has been given $32.8 million for social service assistance. I mean, it's a step in the right direction, you know, so that's a good program. I'd also like to give a shout out to the Minister of Public Works, Desmond Bannister, for an outstanding job as Minister responsible. He's taken initiative as Deputy Prime Minister to demolish shanty towns. And again, I feel very bad about this because I understand some people, you know, looking for a better way of life. I understand that, you know, the country that they reside in, you know, it's a country that many people are running from and they're coming to the Bahamas. At the same time, the Bahamian people who are here in this country, who have been living here for generation and generation, are also suffering and been suffering for so long. So some of us are very, you know, resentful. A lot of us got a lot of hate in us, you know, because we're fighting against our own government. And then we have, you know, brothers and sisters from our next nation, you know, trying to make a living. And, you know, they put a lot of screen on us as Bahamians, you know, and we are frustrated to the point where some of us, you know, push love aside, push concern aside, push passion aside, you know, and we sometimes say things that are out of anger. And yes, we have our Haitian and brothers who are from the next nation, you know, but they are part of our country, those who are living here. And we have to protect the Bahamas from the Bahamas becoming a lawless country. And the laws are on the book. We only can be able to sustain and protect our borders if we apply our laws. I know it's very disheartening to see the houses getting pushed down. You're hearing the nationalists them speak on, you know, they don't have no place to go, et cetera. You know, they've been living in the Bahamas for over 20 years, et cetera. You know, but at the same time, there's no permit. There's no running water. There's no electricity. You know, and then you're not supposed to build on the land where the government has told you not to. So that's breaking the law. And so many laws have been broken. And the government itself need to be brought up on charges for being not living up to the laws they established, because after the hurricane, I feel deeply that, you know, if they were paying attention, if they was enforcing the laws, then we would not have so many unregulated houses built up in Abaco. And, you know, now you must remember there was a devastating hurricane about a year or two ago, and you had the presence of the Defense Force, the Immigration and Police down in Abaco, and it's quite remarkable how persons without permit, without any kind of documents to actually build, you know, where were the police, where were the Defense Force, where were the Immigration? So in a way, you know, the government needs to be held responsible for not doing their job, you know. But at the end of the day, we'd like to say thanks to the government for, you know, enforcing the law. It's a little difficult, you know, but it needs to be done. It needs to be done because we have to protect ourselves from the disasters of the next hurricane. We also have to look at the fact that we have to take a look at the recent fires we have had. We had one person who died in a two-story structure. That was not because of garbage. It was just something, I guess, had a candle and that light. Light a particular curtain or so. And the next fire that was done in the, I think, is the Anglesen area. In the Anglesen area. And where we had about four or five houses destroyed. And they were not shanty towns. They were Bahamian houses. But there were a lot of debris, trash, connecting the houses, in between the houses. So I guess that when the fire started, it was able to travel from one place to the next. And with the cars there, with oil and gas in the gas tank, it spread to the next heap and went to the next. So I guess this is the reason why the government has decided to come down on the shanty town and also for sanitation and health purposes, because we have the member that they found cholera in Abaco, you know, and especially in the water table where many of the residents from Abaco who don't have proper sanitation or bathroom facilities, running water, cesspit, etc., they find cholera. So we have to be very careful and not allow it to spread. So this is an indication that we are protecting ourselves. So we have to give kudos to the Deputy Prime Minister and the government for enforcing the law. And again, I felt that they was not maintaining their presence in Abaco, and that's why Abaco went contrary. But now it seems like the government has stepped their foot down, and now we are getting back to being a lawful country. And my prayers out to all of the Bahamian nationals who probably have legit homes. I hope that they have all their paperwork sorted out and that they wouldn't get demolished. Yes.
Okay.
I think that was one of the talking. What else are we going to talk about? All right. We also want to talk about, and you could comment on any one of these topics, and I'm going down the line. We're going to talk about the Prime Minister's pledge for $100 million for major upgrades for the Princess Margaret Hospital and Rand Memorial. I think it's $7 million to upgrade to the Princess Margaret Hospital and $30 million for the Rand Memorial Hospital in Freeport, Grand Bahama. This is, again, it's a good initiative. And I'd like to give the thumbs up for the Prime Minister. We must take into account that even with the renovation and upgrades and the $100 million that the government of the Bahamas is spending to repair, we still have to understand that we need new hospitals in the country. Okay, because we have a growing population. Just recently, they say we have like, what, 500,000 Bahamians. Okay, so what that means for us, especially with the COVID-19 pandemic, we just recently saw where many persons who had contracted the COVID-19 and were admitted to the Princess Margaret Hospital, they had no access to beds. You know, so the hospital was unequipped to deal with such an influx of persons who caught the COVID-19. And for that reason, many of them were put in the gurney in the hallway at the Princess Margaret Hospital. You know, so this is a step in the right direction. You know, even though the government still needs to make and draw up a plan in Arsenal, Providence, where we could probably build one more or two more hospitals. You know, I was listening to my colleague, Levon, on his show, and he mentioned the same thing, talking about the $100 million, and he said that that is great, but at the same time, the Princeton Market Hospital needs to be removed. I agree with him. I also think that if we were to build one or two more hospitals somewhere in Nassau where there's a lot of space, you know, there's Carmichael Road, that has a lot of acres of crown land, we could decide to invest considerable money in a 10-year budget, that any government who comes in the power would start construction. There would be no nonstop. Not even if you lose the election, to build a brand new hospital to take the pressure off Princess Margaret Hospital. God's, it's overstressed. Many of our nurses, doctors, underpaid. Many of our nurses are leaving the country to go elsewhere. Probably this would give them an opportunity now to be supervisors where they can leave the Princess Margaret Hospital and go to the next hospital in the country. And, you know, we could balance it out. We could say, if you look on record, I don't know how many people attend the Princess Margaret Hospital on a monthly basis. And just say, if we come to a number, just use any number. If we were to say, in a month time, we have like 20,000 or 30,000 people come to the hospital in a month period. And then you add that for 12 months period. Could you imagine the screen on those doctors, nurses at the hospital? You could imagine that volume of people, gunshot victim, knife victim, persons who have heart attack, people who have to do surgery, you know, people who need to be, who getting transplant, you know, who got infection, you know, who, you know, that's a lot of screen for our nurses and doctors, you know, and they're underpaid and they're understaffed. So we need to find creative ways of building new hospitals. And even this hospital here, which is situated on Shirley Street, and when I listened to my colleague, he made good sense. But I know something. Before I talk, I always look at the Princess Margaret Hospital, and I said that there needs to be more beds, you know. What is really frightening and really scary is that a lady who was in the Princess Margaret Hospital, I think about a few weeks ago, she was admitted, you know. She was about to give birth, and she was denied access. The nurse keep on telling her that she is not in labor and et cetera. And they had on the gurney in the hallway. You know, she didn't have no bed, and she was talking with her many, many hours. And then they gave her the runaround. You know, I think she said that she had complications from, you know, the pregnancy, and she was complaining. And they told her that they'd get back to her, and then she said it was a few hours later. Could you imagine any one of us? You're pregnant, and you pay your taxes. This is what you pay your taxes for. This is what it's for, to make sure that you get the best quality of service. Because we pay the nurses and we pay the doctors. We pay them. That's the taxpayers' money. That's your what money. And we need to understand that. You understand? So what that means is we're paying our what money. So that means we should get the best service. We should have the best beds. We should have the best, etc., especially when it comes to healthcare. And we are being denied that, and we need to find ways on how we could get this to be a professional level where we look at our citizens and say, hey, you know, we want to treat them first class here in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, you know. And for that woman, and then I heard the lady, she had a miscarriage. and that's very sickening and saddening at the same time. You know, and this goes on where we are one of the richest Caribbean countries in the world. I think we're the third richest Caribbean country in the world, and we are one of the richest countries in the world. And there's no way in this world with all this wealth that we should have one public hospital. And then we have a private hospital like Doctor's Hospital. And that's because creative people saw the need for a next hospital. So whatever they come up with a comprehensive way and they work together and they build that hospital next to Princess Margaret Hospital. So they put all those in the vicinity so that they can be able to have patients travel from the Princess Margaret Hospital who wanted better service, and then they would go to Doctor's Hospital. So yes. So I look at it, and it's a call I want to talk. Okay, I'm going to come back to this topic. So I want you to be a part of the conversation. So you're on Inside in the City. Please go ahead. Go ahead, caller. You're on.
Hey, Scrooge.
Hey, good night.
Everything's well?
Yes, sir.
Awesome, awesome. I got one. I'm listening to your dialogue here. Just wanted to just contribute one very, I think, something that could be significant and something that could perhaps open the mindsets of many of us.
Excellent, excellent. Go ahead, sir.
As we realize, PMH has been in existence, I'm over 50, so I know PMH has been in existence at least 60, 70 years.
Yes, sir.
I believe that you're talking about prime land that another hospital could actually be located centrally where everyone should be able to access it with ease.
Yes.
I think one of the best places to put that, and you're going to see right now why I choose the spot, is somewhere back around, you remember back in the 60s, the Royal Air Force from England used to use the Sports Center as a runway.
Yes, yes, yes. That was, yes.
How about putting, hey, we don't need no runway. How about building a hotel, building a hospital in that vicinity? And instead of our runways, putting a helipad where a lot of persons in the inner city will have access to that, and also our family islanders coming in for medical treatment could actually land at a hospital at that site and be treated there. And basically, you know, persons in the surrounding areas like Yellow Elder, mm-hmm. Blue Hills, you know, further down in Westridge, as well as in the hotels, yeah. will have close access to anyone who has, you know, medical emergencies or anything like that. Mm-hmm. I think that would be an ideal spot to put it. But here's the kicker: we have that big, beautiful stadium there.
Mm-hmm.
How about persons who have been injured while participating in sports? You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So I believe that the sports, if there is land available at the sports center around in that vicinity, I think an excellent hospital could be placed there as well.
Mm. Makes sense. And then, like you said, it's in a position, it's in an area where you can come from Yellow Elder, you can come from South Beach. You know, and the roads are connected. So you're making sense. Yes, yes. Definitely. Go ahead. You're still there? I guess you're breaking them just a little bit.
But I believe that with the hotels right there, we have two major hotels in the general vicinity, i.e., well, Atlantis is close to PMH,
yes.
But John Bahama, of everybody, so whether they're foreigner,
mm-hmm.
our guests, or whether they're Bahamians, we should be able to give
yes.
and prompt medical care that they need at any specific time where deemed necessary.
Yes.
So that is my contribution to something for you to think about, something for the public to think about, because we've been asked.
You're breaking up.
So thank you for taking my contribution today.
No problem. Your contribution was wonderful because what you're suggesting is the same thing that we're talking about. You're taking the pressure off the Princess Margaret Hospital. Okay, let me give you a good example on how your idea, what you gave, make a lot of sense. Okay.
If you'd like to make a call, please hang up and try
again.
If you need help, hang up and then dial your operator.
Short. Or you're in a car accident somewhere on the Carmichael Road Strip. Okay? We have one major hospital. That's the Princess Margaret Hospital. The amount of time the ambulance would take to get from Princess Margaret Hospital, which is situated on Shirley Street, to Carmichael Road, I think that's about 10 miles to get there. That's about 10 miles away or 11 miles to get there. I think if you look at the time frame, it takes anywhere from 15 to 20 to 25 minutes or 30 minutes to get from Shirley Street to Michael Road. And they say when it comes to trauma, they say if you're more likely to survive if you get the ambulance on time to pick you up. So the time frame, if you have any major accident, shooting, heart attack, car accident that are very serious, if that ambulance can get to you within a 5 to 10 minutes period and reach its destination back to the hospital, it gives the doctors some time to prepare, and you could be safe. With that time frame, with the ambulance in the Bahamas leaving the Princess Margaret Hospital to go to Carmichael Road, your chance of living is less likely for you to live. So if you have a hospital, like the gentleman suggested just recently, in that particular area, what you have now is you have a hospital, you have the ambulance set up there, the ambulance station, you have the fire station. So even if there's a fire, so you add these things onto the hospital. You have a fire station, you have, like I said, you have the ambulance station. And instead of persons calling from Carmichael Road to Princess Margaret Hospital to come and send an ambulance, they know that there's a hospital in that area. They know the number. They can easily call whatever number is 911 or 919, and that reduces the time frame for that person who was injured to be, how should I put it, dealt with in a timely fashion and preserve their life instead of taking 30 to 40 minutes. So, yes, that's one of the reasons. We need to be creative because we have outgrown our previous Princess Margaret Hospital. We have our next call on the line. Can we take this, Mr. Roll? Go ahead. You're on Inside Inner City.
Hello?
Yes, good night. Go ahead, sir. You're on.
Yeah, you sound kind of low.
Oh, I guess it's... Okay, the producer's checking it. Can you hear me better now?
I can barely hear you, but let me try and make my contribution. The idea with Jeff gave was excellent idea, but only one problem I have with it, you know what I mean, is that if we ever host a sporting event, you know, the hospital area should be nice and quiet.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
You really can't have so much noise and goat skin drum beating while the patient's trying to rest.
You're correct.
Now, the thing about it is the governments can do what they want to do when it comes to commandeering land.
Yes,
so
sir.
PMH is in a perfect area. I live right in the back of PMH on top of the hill, in which the government have a lot of property, vacant property right up top of the hill in the back of the hospital. They have a lot of vacant property to the east of the hospital, right into Collins House.
Yes,
they can
yes.
use that. They can even come and there's some of the street, Shirley Street, and redirect the road if they need to really mm-hmm. build up, and they could build there. Mm-hmm. Now, what we really need is well-trained and properly trained paramedic mm-hmm. all over the island.
Yes, sir.
You see,
all over the island.
Because the paramedics are really the ones that get to you and properly stabilize you
yes.
in the event. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
But I think the hospital where it is, they should demolish the old one mm-hmm. and utilize the land as best they could and build a new one.
Yes,
but we need properly trained paramedics.
Yes, you're correct, sir.
Okay, that's my contribution.
Your contribution is wonderful. And I was just thinking, and what you were talking about, sir, see, that's why I tell you, you could get all the answers from the citizens of this country, you know. If the governments who control government just was to listen to the citizenry, we have great ideas. And that caller gave a prime example.
To make a call,
so what are your suggestions is this? There's an old ministry of Education Building that is situated on Shirley Street next to the parking lot of the Princess Margaret Hospital. And that is a big, large space. That was the old Ministry of Education office. That's in front of the Tribune. And that goes way back to where the Urban Renewal Office is on Collins Avenue. And all of that space right there, like the previous caller just said, can be turned into a brand new hospital. And I agree with you, sir. Both of you callers are right. And I think when you mentioned the fact that around the Sports Center, the Queen Elizabeth Sports Center, at least it's now, what's the guy name? Our great athlete, Tommy Robinson. See, and we have to remember and show respect. The great Tommy Robinson Sports Center. The caller made a great point when he said that, you know, you only have a problem with the nurse because, you know, with the ambulance and et cetera, you know, with the nurse from the athletes and all the traffic. We, you know, the doctor can be with a scalpel in his hand and then, you know, you blow the horn. So, yes, we might have to find a better location, but all the same, it's still a great idea. We just won't have to put it close to the sports center. Your idea is great because we have a lot of space next to the Princess Margaret Hospital. Yes, you're so correct. Yes. I think those are great suggestions. And even though you want the hospital to stay there, I'm not disagreeing with you. You're completely right. I say to my add on to that, I think we just need to take the burden and the pressure off of Princess Margaret Hospital of the time frame. And like you suggested, put the paramedics, because they're the one who stabilized the victims, you know, whether you're in a car crash or shooting or you get a heart attack, and we have the hard COVID-19 now after that. And they have to be well trained. Yes. So we should add paramedics stations across the country where if we don't decide to build a new hospital, like the gentleman suggests, we have the paramedic station, probably a building, like how we have the fire station on the Independence Highway where we have a fire engine and then we have a police station, but it's actually a fire engine to respond to fires in the Pinewood Gardens area or Carmichael Road area so that they have a quick response. So if we do that, yes, that'd be a great suggestion too, because we have a time frame of getting to the victim to stabilize them. Yes, caller, you all did a wonderful job. We're going to take this next call. Go ahead, call us. You're on Inside the Inner City.
Good day, Scrooge. How you doing?
Hey, I'm fine. Why another voice any week? Any day?
Yeah, man, for real. And good day to your listeners all over the universe.
Yes. Go ahead.
And to your producer. Scrooge.
Hey.
I was thinking maybe it was something we might could have do with the hospital. You know, every year I hear them spending millions of dollars fixing the roof, fixing this, fixing that. I'd hate to know they just break it down like that. I was wondering, maybe not an old, I don't know if old folks, I just thinking like even the homeless people, I wondering if it's something we could use that for, a temporary use it for the doctors who might not have nowhere to stay on call, or the nurses, or the foreign workers, them who are working in the hospital, but not just knock it down and mark it down. Feel like you're wasting money when you do something like that. Tell me something.
Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, you talk about, you mentioned Cheryl Wilson.
Lady Cheryl Wilson.
Yeah, is she still on the bench?
I think she's retired now. I think she's in the gardening. I look at her on Facebook the other day. She's in the garden now, and she has a wonderful backyard gardening, man. Awesome.
Okay.
I think she's retired now.
Okay. I just wondered because it was something I wanted to say in a second. But before I forget, you mentioned anything last week or this week about the appointment of the web shop owner for an ambassador of South Africa?
You want me to comment on it?
Well, you could, but listen, I want you to comment on it. I want to tell me something, how you feel about this. Mark, you want two questions on the same point. Before we regulate the number industry and make it legal for the gamble and for the web shop owners to do it the right way.
Yes, sir.
They was breaking the law, right?
They were breaking the law, but the law seems to be on their side. We all know that. They were breaking the law, but at the same time, they were getting licensed, so I don't know. I don't know.
Well, they say Sonic is some technicality. It's like they licensed either was to do certain things,
so,
but they was going a little further. So,
yes.
And they was making money from it. And I know normally when you break the law, they consider you criminals.
Yes.
And they repossess your things and
they
stuff
did none
like
of that.
That.
And they did none of that.
And with these web shop owners, I'm proud to know my black brothers didn't make it that far to be able to can handle the industry. But, you know, I don't think there's no special than any other black brothers. Like, for instance, let me ask you something. You think when or if the government change, Philip Davis be the prime minister of the Bahamas, you think it's okay if they appoint someone who maybe in the past had a past where they might have been before the courts breaking the law or something? Mm-hmm. Or let's say a drug trafficker or a drug dealer, mm-hmm. but he changed his life around. He helping people. Okay, let me give you an example. Like
you get
the
good
man,
example.
90 Samuel Knowles. They say he helped a lot of people. He do a lot of good. You think after spending his time, you know, people have changed. People have changed their life for the better. You think it'll be okay if we maybe appoint a person like that to maybe represent the Bahamas?
First of all, let me just say this. I feel that we can't judge nobody. Let me tell you why. We know about Samuel 90 Knowles, our dealings. What about closet people who have done things worse than selling drugs? What about persons who abuse their family, their children? You know, they are sexual abusers, but that never was being brought to the table.
For
and
real?
These are the same ones who will be complaining about the Samuel 90 Knowles because we know about his crimes, right?
Yes.
But you can never know how a person turned out to be. You know, so,
change.
Yeah, we can't judge. No one has the right to judge.
They might not be so much responsible where they come from, but they're responsible where they go in.
And they know they have a lot at stake. A person who has the position, he'd be less prone to corruption because he wants to set an example. He knows his past. So once he gets that appointment, wherever position it is, he wants to protect himself. He wants art integrity. He want to make sure when he get there, he don't want no scandal. He want to prove something to the Bahamian people, and I think he's going to go straight.
Yeah. Fast. So you okay with the appointment and with them appointing
Sabas was never a criminal, okay? He was never a criminal. And you made a good suggestion when you said, was he breaking the law? Well, if he was breaking the law, was he put before the court and brought up on any charges? No, he was not. Yes, gambling was so-called illegal in the country, but at one time that I remember, because gambling was started in my community where I live, in Lewis Creek, on the corner. I talking with Poise them. These are the first number man in the country. And John Bo and Mr. Stewart down there on Blue Road. So when this number thing started in Grandstand, and Poise was one of the first number man in the country. And I can recall that it was against the law, but I watched many police officers who were in uniform were going there buying numbers inside his establishment. So if something was against the law and there's a commissioner of police, then why were not they arrested and put before the courts and that business shut down completely? They were only doing raids every 6 months to 1 month, and they would take the number man money, but they still let them go along with their business.
Only Flowers is the only one who they carry before the court, say.
I think so, and that's political, I guess.
And he still end up winning the case, eh?
Yes.
Okay. Let me change from that topic.
No, that was a good topic.
Yeah. Well, you know, some people just feel like
Sabas doesn't deserve it.
Huh?
Why Sabas doesn't deserve it? Tell me why he doesn't deserve it. Why doesn't he deserve it? Give me one good reason why he doesn't deserve it. Huh? He probably has the experience. He travels to Africa. He travels the world. This is what he was able to achieve living in the Bahamas. He made something out of nothing, and he gives back. All right? Who are we to judge? You know, we are doing the wrong things. You know, I'm not disrespecting none of those pastors who speak. That's their personal opinion. But at the end, they have allowed pastors who have hurt young ladies. And they speak out for those pastors and say, he's a pastor and give him a chance. And they go back and there's pastors back to their church and they're still a part of the church, right? And in the Bible, and the way we talk about this Christianity tells you about love and forgiveness.
Some done being in jail.
And some done being in jail and they're still on the pulpit and still in the same church and they're contributing greatly. So who are people to judge other people based on what they see? But what are they doing?
Well, you know something? In a way, I'm glad we're heading in this direction, you know, to give everybody a chance. So, you know, not because the man might have been a drug trafficker or had some problems in the past. I'm looking forward to hear some of these people also represent the Bahamas.
Hey, if you look at the rum era, okay, how many Bahamian people back in the 1930s, 1940s was involved in the bootlegging, okay? And when they make it legal, hey, those poison turn legit. And some of them poison contributed to the greatest development of the country.
Yeah.
And still to this day, their children are contributing greatly, and they are not involved in all illegal activities. So if the pastors them are going to say things like that, then they need to understand that in this country, listen,
you might be younger than the pastors and younger than me, but I think you're making a lot of sense what you're saying. And like I say, I'm looking forward if we can start, if this is what we could be doing. And, you know, I'm looking forward for everyone, straight across the board, who contribute to society.
Yes.
You know, you might, to be given a chance.
Yes. The only people who we could judge, and these are the people who we should judge, if we know something's very wrong, like raping a little boy or raping a baby, they hold the picture. You understand?
We already
judge them.
Or
poison who is out there killing innocent people.
We ain't into them type of people.
You see? But poison's
like... that's what I was talking about. It looked bad, you see?
Yes. Not, you know what I mean? Not those type, you know, because they're not human, okay? They are decision. Once you do that, you're not human, okay?
So listen, they sound like they're getting ready to, the Prime Minister said they're working on the medical, I listened to the news, the Guardian news today, they saying they're working on medical marijuana, and person saying, some people saying they ain't going to tax the marijuana. I thought they was doing all this to be able to tax it to make some of this money, you know? I don't know how, it's so much information we still don't know about
just like
it.
Just like the COVID-19 information we need to know about it.
They talk about the prices for... They talk about 2 ounces from the pharmacist. I don't know if some people saying it's a possibility it could be like $400 an ounce. You know, I don't know if that's to discourage it, but I know it'll open up the black market and it'll allow persons to still purchase marijuana. I talk about adults. Adults still purchase it. The way are they doing it now? So the government just need to, whilst they considering everything, consider it. You understand?
Yes.
When you talk about Cheryl Wilson, I remember Lady Cheryl Wilson, I say to myself, well, I didn't hear her name, and I wondered if Carolita Battle was still on the bench also. And then someone told me, said she might have done retired.
Yes.
But I think, I don't know if it's a rumor or what, they about to appoint some judges, to the some new judges to the bench, some justices. And I wanted to congratulate them.
Of course.
I can't remember all the names. I think they mentioned one lady, Miss Reach Gomez. They mentioned Deputy Magistrate Andrew Forbes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Andrew Forbes is he's one of those judges who just get my attention. I mentioned a little while back how I wish a person like him will reach to be like a Chief Justice in this town.
Mm-hmm.
Because you could bring the former Commissioner of Police, you could bring the sitting Archbishop, you could bring who you want, bring in the front of that man.
Yes.
And talk about this person on behalf of this person. And you could be a politician, child, or whatever.
He's incorruptible.
This man, the tough right. I guess what? They're the kind of people. So I just want to congratulate Andrew Forbes on his appointment to be a justice now. I hear the opposition was saying something. I think Andrew Forbes was the deputy magistrate, and we get a magistrate who I don't want to say his boss, but who was higher than him, the chief magistrate.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think she was appointed for anything. And I think the opposition was pointed out and asked a question about this whole process with selecting these people and stuff like that. But I don't know. I don't know what that's all about. And then they mentioned about is this like punishment for the case. You know, she had a major case with former member of parliament, Shane Gibson and others. And she had some comments on some sitting cabinet ministers.
Mm-hmm.
I say to myself, the question he asking is this punishment or whatsoever, right? I say to myself, if or when the government change and she become either the Chief Justice or something, is that some kind of payback? Could we look at it that way?
Well, let's
or just look at it and say she was overlooked and she's getting just what she deserved.
Well, we must look at this.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to use an example. There's some truth to probably what you're saying, because if we remember, let's just look at the Royal Bahamas Police Force. When we had Ellison Greenslade, before he was the Commissioner of Police, and we had Marvin Dames Wyand, them two were Wyand to be Commissioner of Police.
Yeah.
I'm not, to my knowledge, I'm just saying we heard that one were with the PLP organization and one with the Free National Movement organization.
Well, we could say that for one so far, that Marvin Dames, I don't know. But Ellison so far, all I don't
right.
know about it.
Just conspiring, right? Mm-hmm. And they were sent away to get the best training so that one of them can become Commissioner of Police.
Yeah.
We saw when a particular party won, both of them returning. One was appointed Commissioner of Police.
But in this one, in Hubert Ingham still was the Prime Minister when they returned, and he make Greenslade the Commissioner what, before we vote him out?
I think so.
Yeah, before we vote Hubert Ingham out, he made Greenslade.
Yes.
You know what the listen is.
If he qualified for the job.
It was coming close to the election anyhow, and he knew if he did do something different, it would have been just as bad as voting them out, because we voted them out anyhow.
All right, so I'm just saying. Uh-huh. And then you saw when one got Commissioner, one was in, then Marvin Dames, I think he was in charge of the airport on the Royal Bahamas Police Force. And he stayed there for a little while,
uh-huh.
and then he resigned and went to Bahama. And then he supported that particular organization, the Free National Movement. Then he became, when the government won, he became Minister of National Security. Greenslade was appointed a position as the ambassador. So, like you said, okay, we can read behind the lines. The Minister of National Security, he said that it's no problem, or this is just a decision based on the fact that Mr. Greenslade has done his time, and now he should get a different appointment, a different position as ambassador. So we saw there where there was some kind of animosity.
Some kind of politics, personality.
And he resigned. I think, to my knowledge, I think the Minister of National Security at that time resigned. That was Marvin Dames. I think he resigned at the fact that Greenslade became Commissioner of Police, and he didn't want to be under Greenslade. And the same thing, vice versa, when Greenslade
I hear what you say, I think Greenslade was encouraged to leave and go where they sent him.
Yeah.
I don't think Marvin wanted him there.
All right. Now you getting my point?
Yes.
You see, so that wasn't made public, but reading between the lines was a back and forth.
Yes, yeah. But we respect the chief magistrate, and
yes.
we know she deserved everything what
yes.
she's going to
yes.
get. But I just wanted to salute Andrew Forbes, and I see good things, you know. If God spare life, whatever, if I don't even be here,
mm-hmm.
and he still be here, I expect good things. I want him to stay true to what he know and
yes.
do what, you know, I feel like for some reasons, I don't know if he believe in God or whatsoever, but be on the side of the people, so
yes.
although you can make your own decision and people disagree with you or whatsoever.
Yes.
Be on the side of the law first,
yes.
and hopefully the people will be with the law, and you will be in good stand. I see him being Chief Justice.
Yes.
One day,
yeah.
you know something on Marvin Dames as the Minister of National Security.
Mm.
I don't know if you have a chance to check this out, but persons was asking the questions. You see the drones.
I see them every day. They over us every day.
Yeah, but these drones and these different things with Marvin, even the cameras and everything. People was asking the question: is it one company who doing all of these contracts? I would not want to believe like one particular company is only qualified to do the work for national security. I sure we get plenty of behemoth young companies and stuff like that to deal with drones. I mean, they spend millions of dollars, and I think if or when the government change, Marvin Dames should be held responsible to answer questions.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for instance, right, someone say something happened, I don't know if there's any truth, by the fish fry, right?
A shooting incident?
Someone might have get you or something with it. Some incident,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
someone's
circulating there.
Yeah, and yes. And they say the drone's supposed to pick up and do certain things when things happen, especially gunshots and stuff like that. And either it didn't do. Well, I believe, I could be wrong. I think human beings just operate them from an office and be monitoring them also.
Listen.
But if we can spend all these millions of dollars screws on these things, then, right?
Yes.
Because when I listen to Miami News and other things, them things affected, man. Them things,
yeah.
Listen, I hear the guy shoot somebody, the drone far, far away, zoom in, falling in, see where he threw the gun, see what hole he gone in. They could have gone and pick him up. So I don't know if that's the kind of drones what we get, and that's the kind of money.
No.
But I know you, Marvin Dames. Marvin Dames, you can be all responsible. You have to answer questions to let us know why you decide to do it the way you do it. And these people who in charge of it, they all got to do your job or no?
Yes.
do your job, because us being human people, we could use the money for many other things, but we need to put money into crime and stuff like that. So you all don't pussyfoot around and be there sitting on this thing political or whatsoever.
No, it's
the human life you're playing with.
You
know, and the tourists, them coming out to fish right too. So, you know, they need to get their act together and make sure, they have a promotion now. I hope it don't be political. I hope they give everybody who deserves it, especially them hard-working young officers.
Well, again, I'm going to say this. I'm going to comment on the drone, and you were saying there's an next promotion. Well, like again, brother, we have to use our common sense. If we listen to see how many senior officers who were part and connected to a political party, we say many of them got sent home and were paid, okay? And some have returned to duty. So if we're looking at it, many of these appointments on the Royal Bahamas Police Force are not for merit. Many of them are because I am affiliated with either the PLP or the Free National Movement. There are officers who are on the force who are not part of the PLP or the Free National Movement.
Hard workers.
Who probably can even do a better job.
Yes.
Right? But they are denied ranks because they are not affiliated. And because of that, we lose talent. We lose persons who have the best interests at heart. And then we put people who come there to spike. So, yes.
This is where the staff association, what they talk about, supposed to step in and make sure and speak out for the young officers.
Yes, yes.
You know, speak
it's supposed
out for
to be merit.
But the politics is go far now.
Yes, of course. Listen,
if, like I say, if or when the PLP win.
You think they can win?
You know, although they say this commissioner, his time almost up and stuff like that, they can encourage him to leave just how they can encourage Green Slade to leave.
Think about this. Listen to this. Why have we had so many assistant commissioner beliefs, and why have we had so much commissioner who have not served like a 5-year period or a 10-year period? Winnie Ellison Greenslade is the last one to serve an 8 to 9 year, 10 period. We have had but 4 or 5 different commissioners. And listen to this now. All of them, we're going to pay pension to. Okay, which makes, it makes sense because they have done their time. I'm not going to discredit these officers. They put in their time, yes, and they should get their pension. But you're giving them a position like commissioner, assistant commissioner of police, you know, and they're going to be paid this pension for the rest of their lives. We cannot be appointing so many assistant commissioner of police, and we can't have so many different commissioner of police in a 5-year or 7-year period. You know, it makes no sense. We mess it up and we say, you know what, we want a prime minister to serve 2 terms. Listen, I don't care. If a prime minister is doing good in the country, I don't care if he run 20 times or four or five times, as long as he is doing things that benefit the country, I don't feel that he needs a time frame or 10, a 2-term.
You know? I agree with you. No,
that don't make no sense.
You bring him, say, what you can't do in 10 years or 2 terms, might as well don't be there. I mean, you can't
Of course. So I'm not buying into that, you know. And yes, they are political appointees, and I hope that we break out of this and give the officers due respect and for their work they put in, not because they're PLB and FNM, because that has sent the force in a disarray.
See, a lot of them old officers, them big high-rank officers like assistant commissioner and AST and all of that and superintendent and stuff like that, to be honest with you, they need to go home. They need to go either open up their security company or whatever, because they stifle it. You know, when you're around people with bad spirit, and maybe because they was treated bad when they was coming up the rank, they trying to do the same thing to these young people.
Of course.
Same old nasty, spiteful, vindictive ways. You understand?
When
we understand, it's priceless what they do, and we can never pay them for what they do. Well, I'm glad the government have some money. They say it's on, like, in the budget.
Yes.
For the frontline workers, and especially the police officers.
They deserve it.
I hope they pay them straight across the board.
Yes,
no particular set. All of them.
Yes.
All of them.
Transparent.
They encourage even the lazy set who mightn't be doing that, including the reserve police officers. Just pay them straight across the board, because they deserve it. They're working hard, man.
Yes.
They're working hard.
Yes.
Keep up the good work, man. I enjoy talking to you.
Yeah, man. Thanks, my brother.
All right.
All the callers have done a wonderful job here tonight on Guardian Radio 96.9, and especially on Inside Inner City. I tell people all the time that the citizens of this country had some great ideas on how they could get this country forward. That's why partnership is so important in this country. That's why when I speak about the Honorable Prime Minister Hubert Alexander Menes, I know what he could accomplish in his time frame if he did partnership the way he's supposed to partnership. If he did get the Honorable Perry Gladstone Christie, if he did get the Honorable Hubert Alexander Ingram, to be helping him out with many of these catastrophic events that has happened, COVID-19, Hurricane Dorian, and et cetera. I think that Hubert Ingram and Perry Christie would have been great for the Bahamas. They would have been great ambassadors, and they would have taken the pressure off the prime minister. So that's why I come down on the prime minister, because I'm there from the inception. I know what this program can do, especially the Urban Design Lab, which is over the initiative. I was there from the inception. I know what this program can do for this country. That's for crime. That's for poverty. That's empowering the people. If we push that program the way we're supposed to push the program, it will solve many of our problems, and we could keep on getting better. And to the marijuana legislation, to my good friend who just called in just now, I think they're going to enhance it. I think this just is the first step. When you talked about the fine, about $400 for the 2 ounces of marijuana, I think as we find our footing, we're going to separate recreational, and then we're going to separate medical marijuana. There was also some good suggestion when I listened, when they talked about the age limit, 18 to 21. I think that should be a requirement if you're going to use it as medical, or if you're going to use it as recreational. You should be of the age of 18 or 21. The government's going to decide that, or the board of people is going to decide that. I feel that, like I said, yes, something else I was going to say, and I forgot it just now, so I want to come back in my mind before it slipped. Yeah, I talk about the marijuana. Yeah. I also like the fact that they are saying to the general public, even if you get it as a miracle marijuana from a physician, it is stating that you would either have to be in your house or be in your yard. You know, you're not to be allowed to go out in public places and smoke it. And I am all 100% about that. They also talk about the zone around no schools and et cetera, around no churches, et cetera. I'm all for that, especially if you can't put no medical marijuana distribution outlet around a church or in the church zone or around the school zone. I think the government is taking great consideration on finding ways to make this work. So I'd like to give them a shout out for doing a wonderful job, and we can get better. So these are the first steps. Okay, these are the first steps. But I like the fact that around no school zone, around no churches, if you're allowed to use medical marijuana, or if you're allowed to use it as a recreational, you're allowed to do so in your yard, in your fencing yard, or in your house. You're not allowed to do it around no children. You're allowed to not do it on no bus. You're allowed not to do it in the car, especially with children. So even though while we're regulating it, we're putting preventative measures in place to protect our children, to protect the church, and make it responsible. You know, you don't want guys now that it's being legalized as medical marijuana, and then some people, you know, would get it as recreational, to be smoking in the road, the police passing, they, you know, some are stupid. So that's why laws are so important. You know, we're trying to come up with a great solution, but some are so reckless. You know, some of us went, oh, I roll up a joint, oh, I ain't in the police no more. Marijuana's legal now. The police pulling up talking to you about something else, you get a big joint. You know, instead of you show some respect and go in the back of the yard, since now, it get passed, you don't grab a big joint and blow smoke in the police face, and the police have to bite your head off, mean slap you for being stupid. And the first thing the police can tell you, my boy, why are you so stupid? Why don't you carry a hip in the back of the yard? You see me here? Have respect for the law. You know, even to the state, police do that to many young persons in the country who decide to smoke illegal substance on the side of the road, and they see the patrol car come, and they have no respect for the police. You know, and the police had to come in the car, instead of locking up and wasting the car time, the police come out and kick you in your hip or slap you for being stupid and say, you get this for being stupid. Instead of you go in the back of the yard, if I see you in the back of the yard smoking, I wouldn't bother you. And fuck, I have no rights to come in the yard if you're yard fencing and you're doing it in the back of the yard. But you're sitting in the front of the road, so it's obvious you don't respect the law. So, yes, we need these. We need these ideas. And I compliment government for making the right choice. Go ahead, caller. Sorry, I was running my big mouth so much. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside the Inner City.
Hey, Scroogey, I had to call back. Thank you for taking my call once again.
No, it's no
this
problem.
This is a very rare opportunity that I call any talk show twice in a row.
Okay.
But anyway, I just wanted to respond to the caller prior to the last caller.
Go ahead, sir.
I think the previous call, in fact, has hit some very strong pivotal points that many persons need to consider. And you're absolutely correct in your assertion that many of the great ideas actually exist in the public domain from the average, ordinary, everyday citizen.
Yes.
And however, what seems to happen is a lot of these things the politicians do hear, the citizens speak to, but they do not give recognition that they have received a lot of the information from the public domain in crafting the,
yes,
the new ideas that they bring to,
yes,
Parliament.
Yes.
And that's something that must be addressed.
Yes, yes.
But in essence, to the previous caller, to the last caller, I think the point that was missing from my contribution was simply this. Not negating the fact that PMH in its primary position or location is not ideal for as far as that location is concerned. My thing was to take some of the pressure, and in fact, relieve a lot of the pressure from PMH by establishing a new hospital in a central location that is ideally located for the citizens to, mm-hmm, access easily.
Yes.
Whereas leaving that hospital there to deal a lot with our visitors. I think what's happening here is this. We have enough land around here now where we could revolutionize the medical professions and facilities that we have here. Let's look at these 3 points that come straight to my mind right now. Firstly, we have a lot of young doctors and nurses that deserve the right to at least hone and craft their profession in a comfortable setting, not being overrun by persons overstepping them, but actually giving them a facility that they can operate in. Secondly, I spoke to the mere fact that right now, presently at PMH, we don't even as much as have a helicopter pad for a helicopter to land on to bring persons from the family island,
yes,
direct to the hospital.
Yes.
And also airlifting persons, let's say, for instance, from another location on the west side of the island in a clear patch land by helicopter to the hospital. We have sufficient land to do these
yes,
revolutionary things.
Yes.
The third point that I'd like to bring up is simply this. I also addressed the sports aspect of it, saying that the Bahamas prior to this this current administration had focused keenly on sports medicine and the sports, the athletes at that sports center.
Yes.
The thing is, what we have to remember is simply this. I hear the previous caller talking about traffic and gunshots and sirens and all this stuff. You go to many of the hospitals in the United States, in a lot of these urban areas, and I can tell you, go inside them, you can't even hear what's going on outside.
Yes,
this is another major investment to reinforce the walls there, become soundproof.
It's soundproof.
But to paint the facade.
I guess we lost them.
The new hospital that we are out.
Yes, sir. Making a lot of sense. Making a lot of sense. Yeah, the phone is breaking up. I guess we lose him again.
22nd Century Hospital. Right now, it stands the government of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas successively have been borrowing money from the hill to from the mountaintop to the valley, but we have yet to see value. Let's use some of the money that these persons are really
bought money.
Let's do something really practical and sensible,
yes,
with the money that we are borrowing.
Yes.
A hospital right now.
Okay, we lost them.
Yeah.
I guess we lost them. He's making great sense. We lost them. I want to give a shout out to my good friend, Elroy Bryce. Elroy, I ain't gonna lie, proud of you. I like how you switch around your life. I like how you're talking to younger guys in the community. And this is what we do, you know. That's Elroy Bryce. Wadzali, respect, big bro. You know, proud of you still. Yeah, and Carla's making some excellent suggestions, and they are on cue. And again, I just want to add with this Sebastian again. No one should judge no behemoth in this country.
If you'd like to make a call, please hang up and try.
And I feel that I ain't down with the Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, you know. But it seems that every time appointment is given, some might be politically affiliated because past and present Prime Minister has done that. But sometimes I think that we have to let some things be. The Prime Minister is the Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of Bahamas. And if he appoints somebody for a position like a non-ambassador or resident to be a non-ambassador to Africa, Sebastian is the Bahamian. He has broken no laws in this country. That's the Prime Minister's choice. You know, he could pick anyone in this country to be a non-resident ambassador. And if you are deserving of that title, then who could question the Prime Minister? So we need to stop meddling in some things we don't need to meddle in and commenting on things we don't need to be commenting on. I think that group of pastors need to speak up more on certain other issues. And don't speak up on when you're trying to bring a next brother down, when you're talking about the word of God. Because Jesus Christ roamed this earth. And he ain't come to change Pontius Pilate. He didn't come to change the government. He just come to change the mindset of people and letting them know that do unto others as you have others do unto you, and talk about his Father. He never came here to lamb blaze or talk bad about somebody, you know. So for persons who hold this high position in the country, you got to know when to hold up and let some things be, because it seems to me, if you're preaching the word of God doesn't tell you resent a person based on some things you might have heard, but you never know how Sebastian can be a great asset to the Bahamas. You know, I just want to say that. We're going to take this next call. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside the Inner City. We still have a caller on. I wonder if you could take this call, if you could.
This dark and voice along with you, Scoot.
Hey, what's up, Raymond?
All right, you man. Thank God.
Yes, sir. Go ahead, Raymond. You have a couple of minutes, you got, but yeah go ahead.
I wanted to say, right? I was just sitting here listening to yours, but something interests me. Now, the thing is, a lot of us want hospitals, right?
Mm-hmm.
Good hospital, you know, new hospital. The thing is, if we can take care of our people by giving them the right food, we won't need so many hospitals for so many people.
I agree.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I agree.
When you can't get the right food, you're not making enough money to buy the decent food
yes.
and which take to make you healthy.
Yes, sir.
That causes you to want to or need to go to the hospital.
Yes, you're right.
The thing is, then again, the thing is, when you go to the hospital, the hospital in a lot of cases being run like a petty shop. Certain medication they don't have. And you got to be going back on different clinics to get it if you're broke. You see what I'm saying?
Yes,
so
sir.
That's a problem.
Yes.
The thing is, use wisdom and take care of your people.
Yes.
Make your people healthy that they won't have to go to the hospital.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes, you're correct.
And then it gives you a chance to focus on things what might come about.
Mm.
So you build for situation as such. But in the meantime, you ain't taking your people.
Yes.
You want your people to go lay up in the hospital and die.
Yes, you're correct. You're correct.
Thank you for your time.
Yes, thank you very much. Wow, so much good contribution today. Raymond did a wonderful job.
Yes.
And what he suggests, just now, he suggests healthy living. You know, I was reading something by a senator in the United States of America.
If you'd like to make a call, please
and
hang up and try again.
I just want to read quickly what he said,
help,
if I can find it real
up,
quick.
And then dial your operator.
And to reference on what Bremen is saying, that if we eat healthy, right? If we eat healthy, we will need many hospital beds or poison going to the hospital, because he is given the fact that with this downturn in the economics in the country, many persons are eating things that are not healthy. So many persons are eating red meat, are not eating a lot of fruits and vegetables to combat the digestion of food. And many persons have high diabetes, you know, and et cetera. What they call, what it is now? High diabetes, high blood pressure, you know, obesity, and all of this stuff leads to hospitalization, especially with the COVID-19, because it states information attacks persons whose immune system are weak. So we're talking to persons who have cancer, who have the AIDS virus, who are diabetic, and et cetera. So the COVID-19 actually attacks basically those persons. So if you eat healthy, and when he's saying the government, instead of building new hospitals, right, even though we're still going to need hospitals, right, just because there are going to still be other things that you're going to need from the hospital, like surgery and et cetera, getting a teeth pull or air problems. So just the hospital is still necessary. But Bremen is making mention that if we deal with our health. So the government supposed to be saying to us, as a result of high obesity, as a result of cancer, as a result of the blood. If you eat watermelon, if you eat the soursop, if you use the red pepper, if you use the fevergrass leaf and make tea, if you get rid of sugar, you know, let's try eradicate sugar off the shelf, because we all know sugar is the leading cause of diabetes. And et cetera. So we need to get rid of sugar. So we need to find more healthier food. That's what Bremen's suggestion. So if we have a healthier living, right, and we build up our immune system, then we won't need to go to hospital on a regular basis. But like Bremen is saying, so many people are going to the hospital because they're unhealthy, you know, and that's because they have not eaten right. And like I said before, COVID-19, they talk about the vaccination. You need to get vaccinated, right? We see Renville Wells speaking about God and et cetera. And I'm suggesting that he is saying that he's using God in his own, the minister of health. He's using God in his own interpretation to tell me and you, who are free will, who are in a democracy country, telling us what we need to do, and that God this and God that. Listen, my brother, God ain't come here to change nobody. God say you have free will, all right? Just like when it was, what his name is, Moses, was telling the people for 40 years that it's going to be a flood, right? And everyone denied it, but he believed God, right? And then the flood came, okay? All right? So you understand what I'm saying? Okay? We all are free will. Jesus Christ roamed the way. John the Baptist roamed the earth. And they never forced, not Christianity, they never forced their fathers work on nobody. They just speak, and those who are asked, listen. Democracy in this country means freedom for an individual. I'm not into Reginald Wells. I'm not into Jeffrey Lurie supporting Reginald Wells, saying that, you know, the one the others or et cetera, and using the Bible in the way they use the Bible, interpret it for political gain, because Bahamian people don't want to get vaccinated. Only 40,000 people, Bahamian people, get vaccinated. And that's according, it's 10% or 100%. How can you blame people? Huh? Did Christ force anyone to listen to the word of God? Did God force anyone to listen to him? Huh? He did not. So no one could tell me what is good for me and what is good for my neighbor. All right? Because it's good for you and your agenda. You understand? No, sir. It don't work like that. And these are persons who are besieged and holding this pastor position or deacon position. They twist the word of God. And that's why so much people is running away from religion, because men, simple men who are men just like me and you. I'm not talking about Mr. Lloyd and Poison. I'm not talking about religion. Men who use the word of God for themselves and try to persuade others to follow suit. When we are watching the internet, when we are watching the news from around the world, what is happening in India, what is happening in China, what is happening in the U.S., what is happening in Turkey, and we're hearing senators like this one here
who said he's a senator of the United States of America, Senator Ron Paul. And he said he won't get the COVID-19 vaccine because he has already had the COVID-19 virus and believes he now has natural immunity. Right. And he is a senator in the U.S. government. Right. And then our research telling us, and what many persons have said, they saying that it's likely that you would survive. 90% to 95% persons who contract the COVID-19 would survive. So it ain't a big issue, right? Then we're seeing birth defects. Persons who take the COVID-19 in the United States of America are having birth defects. Some people are swelling up. So, and then we heard about the different stories around the world with the COVID-19 vaccine, different sets of different vaccine, you know, AstraZeneca and Johnson & Johnson, et cetera. And we are seeing some of the allergic reaction. And we have our leaders today who are supposed to protect and serve because of their agenda. They're trying to get the Bahamas to herd immunity so that they could be recognized around the world as one of the first country to get their country herd immunity. Jeffrey Lloyd don't have the right. Reginald Wells, as the Minister of Health, doesn't have the right to speak on me as an individual. I have free right. And I'm going to say this to each and every one of you, OJ, this is democracy. And people are trying to take away your democracy. And once democracy is gone, you would be a slave in your country again. Or everything that our forefathers fight for, right? For us to be free, for us to go on the beach, for us to travel the world, we'd be taken away from persons who are only into their own agenda. And you got to be careful of persons like that. You know, twisting around God's word to fit their benefit. I have no problem with none of those men. But they don't want talking to me about God because that's what I know. No one can tell me nothing about Jesus. And that's why I can say this. This is my last testimony I'm going to speak on this part. I, as a young man, supposed to be in debt over 20 times. I say I had so much enemies, guys shoot at me. And no one could tell me that I ain't get shoot. When I look on the side of me, I see my friends who just walking with me, who want to be with me, their brains splattered on the ground. People shooting at me, and my friend on the back of me get shoot. Okay? So there ain't no one out there to tell me about no God and no Jesus. I know he exists, and I know he talks to me. And one thing he tells me to do is this. Never, ever tell people what is right or what is right in their eyes. You know, could also be wrong. You know? Speak up for what's right. But never try to persuade somebody to say what you're saying, that it's 100%, and that what you say, you know, you should do. No. We have free will, and that's what democracy is. So we have to be very careful. You know, this is a democracy, and democracy is designed to protect your freedom. That's what it's there for, to protect that individual, that one individual freedom. You know, if you don't want to take the COVID-19 shot, so what? So what? God don't like us? What? 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 Christ could have called his father and bring horse with fire and laser swords. Okay? No one has the right. You know? No one. No prime minister, no minister of education, no minister of health has the right to tell you, you know, to get the COVID-19 shot. When you know deep down in your heart, something ain't right. And ask yourself this question. If I don't have COVID-19, okay? Right? I don't have it. As long as I do my PCR testing, right? I should be able to go anywhere freely in the world or anywhere freely in this country, and I should not be discriminated. You know why? Because the Constitution protects me, and if I are required, once they check me and that I'm 100% cleared of COVID-19, I don't have the COVID-19, I should be able to travel anywhere in the world, go anywhere, and my country should protect me because that's my constitution right. So if you're going to protect the persons who take the COVID-19 shots, 1 and 2, and they can't go anywhere, right? Then you should protect me as a citizen who has my democracy rights to say no. Okay? And that's how it's supposed to be across the board. No one can tell you what to do. Now, if it's right and it makes sense and all the information add up, and it makes sense to all of us. If you have a doubt, we have a discerning spirit inside of us. And many of us are using and see a discerning spirit and something is not right. Just like your mind telling you, don't go that corner, or don't go the red light. So you stop the car, you pull on the side, run, you go the next way. When you look, you listen in the morning, the same red light you was going across, someone gets shot or someone gets knocked down. You have a discerning spirit and don't let no one tell you otherwise. Okay, just like how you could see you believe your wife or your girlfriend scheming on you. You don't know, you don't see this. But a discerning spirit tells you something ain't right based on her action and the way he or she acting. All right? And then when you look later on down the line, your discerning spirit was right and you find out he or she was cheating. You understand me? So don't let no one take away your democracy. Okay? And like I said, the government has done some great programs. And I just want to let you know, as BMS, we might be disgruntled with the government. Some of us might not be. There's some programs in there that could be very beneficial to us as citizens. We just talked about many of those, the marijuana legislation. We're talking about the $100 million for major upgrades to the hospital. Grand Bahama and Abaco to retain Dorian tax-free bills, tell your aunt. Baby products like Pampers, milk, and et cetera are going to be VAT-free, you know. Radical plan to commercialize landlord to pay property tax. Airbus rental to make fully VAT-rated to raise $31 million, you know. So I just want to say that. And I want to also advise the general public that the Ministry of Public Works now is putting people before the courts for abandoned yards, for abandoned houses, for dialect vehicles in your yard. So you're going to be cited and put before the courts. And that's the right move in the right direction. We have to enforce the law to beautify our country and to make sure that we have a wonderful and long-lasting Bahamas. And to make sure that we have the purest air in the world, like how a survey was just done. And the Bahamas has the purest air quality in the whole world. Okay? So without further ado, we're completely out of time. I want to say thanks to all the callers who call in today. You guys did a wonderful, wonderful job. You guys came up with great ideas. I want to give a thumbs up to the government. I don't know if the general public out there is going to give you a second term, but it seems to me that you guys are doing some great programs. I don't know if that's going to be enough. A lot of people are disgruntled. But at the end of the day, there are programs that are going to benefit the Bahamian people. And I want to give a kudos to the Prime Minister, the Deputy Prime Minister, and many other ministers who are doing a great job. And I just want to say this. I have the utmost respect for Shandon Cartwright. I have the utmost respect for Glennis Hannah Martin, Michael Pine. There are a few others who are good MPs, you know. And I just want to say I like what they're doing. You know, from the PLP and the FNM, there are some good MPs in there. So I just hope that many of you retain your seats. And I hope that if those become successful again, their interest is more into building up the country and not supporting a political party when they are wrong and always speaking up when they're wrong, you know. And that's what I hate about the politics. So we'll see you next week on Guardian Radio, and you guys did a wonderful, wonderful job. You're awesome today. And like I said, the power is in the hands of the people. Partnership with the people, you know, the Urban Design Lab, which is the Oberlin Initiative, is a partnership agreement. And if it's done properly, we'll see a dramatic change in the country. So, Liz, drive safe. Try to be courteous to one another. And I'll see you next week on Inside the Inner City. Elroy. Respect, bro. I know you're sitting on and letting the boys listen to me too. Wadzali and I'm a product of a person who live a hard life in the country. So when people are trying to talk down on people and say they didn't deserve to be in a certain position like Sabas, then they need to look at their life. So I'm not talking about them in particular, but they might be some closer than their doors and think back and remember that you were never perfect in this life. None of you. There's no one in this world who has been perfect until they saw the mistakes they made and then they became perfect. Okay? So take the coal out your eye first before, take the speck out your eye, right? Before you look at the other speck in other people's eyes. All right? Sabas deserve, you know, because he's a behemoth. And the prime minister has the right to appoint anyone he wants to appoint in this country. Okay? So I'm out of here. I'd like to say thanks to my producer, Ali Roll, and Guiding Radio 96.9, all the listeners. Have a wonderful, wonderful good night.
Now some of us big up Baton, bro. Boy, I from Baton, bro. Oh, boy.